and welcome to my first podcast episode. Today, we will be introducing the first episode in a three-part series regarding emergency communication. Today, we will be delving into what we will define as emergency communication for the purpose of our discussion, as well as the means which were utilized during historical emergency communication. I will mention that not all historical technologies will be discussed, as it is too vast a topic, but I will be talking about some of the more major technological findings which have been considered essential in the ongoing development of emergency communications. So, in order to fully understand the scope of what is considered to be emergency communication, we will use Ferrante's definition within professional safety, where they say, quote, "Risk communication is a continuing process that helps define a problem and solicit involvement and action prior to the occurrence of an emergency. Crisis communication involves those messages delivered to stakeholders during an emergency event that threatens them." End quote. That being said, emergency communications involve the transport of messages to mass audiences, which can include risk management and/or crisis aversion content. In today's society, reaching large audiences within a matter of seconds is of no concern, as new media forms such as the internet and social media have allowed the scope and means of communication to broaden immensely. So this notion begs the question, how on earth did people receive emergency messages before new media? In primitive times, physical forms of communication were developed in order to warn others of immediate danger, as well as notify people in their surroundings of any urgent situation. Some of these communication devices included smoke signals, torch signaling, heliographs, which is simply using mirrors to flash messages, and signal flags. With these communication forms, the span of audience is greatly diminished from those who we can reach in modern times, as they could only communicate with those in their immediate area. Other flaws within these forms could include the lack of content, people could not grasp what the message was about, they simply knew there was danger. The physical impossibilities also play a part, being as people would be reliant upon the fact that there were actually others to receive their message. Luckily for mankind, new developments within technology allowed for emergency messages to also become more advanced. The late 18th century is heralded as being a time period for very important firsts in the means of communications, where technologies such as the optical telegraph system were first developed. This device eventually allowed the producer of content to reach an audience over 5,000 kilometers, and its main feat was the possibility to transmit messages faster than any other means of transportation at the time. As Farnham states, quote, "The significance of this ability must not be underestimated. The system also represents the first recorded use of error control, which is resending lost characters, flow control, which is the ability to send faster or slower, and message priority. These three essential concepts have remained a vital part of all disaster or emergency communications since that time." End quote. The development of the optical telegraph system is also credited with being the initiator of other visual telegraphy systems which have been used worldwide. One form of emergency communication I'm sure we've all heard of is Morse code. Developed in 1835 by Samuel F.B. Morse, the premise of the technology involved the deflection of an electromagnet using pulses of electrical current through the wire. The significance of this finding led to the utilization of these pulses to create dots and dashes, where they were then used to encode secret messages. Although the original usage of Morse code involved developing the message on a piece of tape, it quickly evolved to the point where the producer of a message would type the dots and dashes and where the receiver would decode by ear. The prevalence of this finding allowed the user to send a message to another user without the worry of it being intercepted, due to the fact that not many understood Morse code. The secretive capabilities of this new language were used frequently by armies, as it allowed emergency messages to pass through their enemies without fear of the message being compromised. Quote, This specific development in the process would prove to be a mainstay of communications during disasters and emergencies for decades, and form the backbone of the earliest emergency communications. Telegraph by wire expanded its horizons for several decades into modern times. End quote. During the similar time period, Marconi, who was an Italian inventor, was experimenting with the radio spectrum and spark gap technology capabilities to procure a wireless signal. Marconi's most notable accomplishments include the sending of the first radio and wireless signals, which quickly developed to transoceanic proportions. Many ships utilized Marconi's technology, including the Titanic, and these developments are known as being one of the origins of mobile new media. At the same time as Morse code telegraphy was being developed, Alexander Graham Bell was working on his version of harmonic telegraphy, which he discovered would allow the user to hear a sound over a wire. As voice telecommunications further developed, the need for more advanced emergency communications was recognized quickly, which led to the development of radio telephony in the early 1900s. Radio telephony involved using radio waves to transmit voice communications, but was used strictly for emergency communications such as military and safety content. At this time, radio had not yet been used for entertainment purposes of the wider public, and had only been introduced as a means of emergency communications. A small sector of the radio spectrum was allotted to amateur radio users, where this sector was only useful over very short distances. Because of the limited capabilities, it became apparent that there was a need for fast, systematic relay of messages in order to communicate over longer distances. Hiram Puri Maxim, an amateur radio user at the time, developed what is now known as the American Radio Relay League, or ARRL, where voluntary radio users came together to initiate long-range relay of content, which we know today as radiograms. Quickly, many forms of organizations adopted the format to transmit radio messages, and similar very specific systems for military, commercial, and public service announcements were created. The ARRL was part of the fundamental design in the way radio messages were passed nationwide, and emergency communications utilized this process to the fullest extent. During World War II, the ARRL requested that with their large network of amateur radio operators, a war emergency radio service be created. This service operated mostly to intercept waves where air raid protection and notification was its outcome. These groups created during wartime led to further subgroups being created, as well as regulations regarding the level of experience required to work with radio communication being enforced across North America. At this point, we're coming really close to the period of modern new media technology, which has drastically impacted the way emergency communication reaches its audience. Tune in to the next episode where we'll discuss the progressive nature of new media as it impacts emergency communication, as well as theories related to mass communication in times of emergency response.